Gentiles, these people are ready. They're prayed up. They're wired up. I want you to get up on your feet. He, you know, he goes to this little church. Let him show him what a real church knows how to appreciate a pastor. Woo! He wants to take a picture. Keep it going.
What? What? Come on now. Come on now. What's up? What's up?
Come on. Come on. Take one picture right here.
I got bobbleheads. Couple things. Number one. I wrote notes. I got to correct some of the stuff you just said. Did you notice that he admitted to stealing someone from me? To Christian pastor taking someone from my church. That's okay. Listen, here's the thing about basketball. In football, I'm about 190 pounds, right? So a running back like me can get hit by two guys 300 pounds each. That's 600 pounds on 200 pounds, 3-to-1 ratio. And we get up as football players and say, what's up? Give me the ball again. Are you following what I'm saying? So when the devil punches you in the mouth, you gotta say, what's up? And you gotta keep going. You can't cry about it. Y'all follow me? It's the kingdom of God. It's the best sport in the world. Basketball, you touch a dude like that, he wants two free shots. What's up with that? God bless you. Have a seat. What's up, church? Listen, I got to make a video. Can you put the lights back on? I just got to make a video. So here's the deal. In our church, and when we go to heaven, our church, it's called the Rock Church, we have a special section in heaven. You haven't hooked that up yet? Oh, it's a deal. You can do it. It's a deal. I'll tell you how to do it after church. So you can put your order in, a reservation, and have your own section. And to get in our section, you have to answer this question in the way we answer it. It's a special signature. You get your own tailor-made greeting. And so if you hear someone say, who's the man? You have to say, Jesus, like that. Are y'all following what I'm saying? So I'm going to say, who's the man? First, let me practice because I don't want to, hold on a second. I don't want to put on video if y'all don't do it right, so I want to make sure y'all got it right. So if I say, who's the man, what are y'all going to say?
Jesus!
That's a little flat. It's a little flat. I need a Jesus like that, a little dip. There's got to be a dip. You can't say Jesus. That's another church. That's another church. So let's try one more time, and then we'll videotape it. Who's the man?
Jesus!
It's a little better. Can y'all feel that? Okay, so I'm here at Shepherd Hills. We are going to practice this, still practicing, but we're at Revival. There's a whole bunch of people here. Oh, hold on. Come on down, church. So we're gonna see if they can come into our section of the Rock Church in heaven, because we have our own section in heaven. Who's the man?
Jesus!
I hit the button and it went off.
Listen, I'm up here in Porter Ranch with Pastor Dudley, Pastor Mudley, right there. Where's Pastor Dudley? We're gonna try this one more time. I got bobbleheads. Look, I got bobbleheads. Can I get one of those when I come home? Okay, hold on a second. I'm gonna fall off the stage. Look at that. Someone said I had a big head. They were right. Look at that. Okay, here we go. Who's the man? I hit the button again. Spastic. <I can't. laughs> Okay, we're just gonna try this. Who's the man?
Jesus!
Very good. Give yourself a hand. Come on, church. Okay. Is that it? Now they're gonna turn the lights off. What does that mean? Turn the lights off. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Pastor said, Pastor, I appreciate you too. He told me he loves me. I love you too, and I love your heart. And for God, you let me stay at your house today, and you weren't there. I'm walking around the house. God, this guy's crazy. I'm in his house by myself. You got a nice house, by the way. I felt it's spotless. I mean, it's like spotless. Spotless. I was looking for dirt. I'm looking under the bed for dirt. I couldn't find any dust. Real quick on the book. I wrote this book 4 years ago, and now we do diversity training. And if you're in corporations, corporate world, you know DEI training. We do similarity training because the book's based on the fact that we're more similar than different. And we always focus on what's different, but actually our diversity are actually variations of our similarities. There are a lot of colors in this room, but really we're variations of color. And even in culture, when they say that you're white or people of color, white is a color. Fred G. Sanford, y'all remember him, the great theologian and philosopher from El Segundo, California. He had a junkyard in Sanford and Son, and he was robbed, and they asked him, was the perpetrator colored? And he said, yeah, he was colored white. White's a color. And so this book called The Third Option, instead of us versus them, four against the police, Republican, Democrat, four against Black Lives Matter, whatever, you always feel like you have to pick a side, and the third option is to honor what we have in common. So that book talks about that, and you can get that, and I'll come back and preach all about it. And amen, come on. So I grew up in New York. I had a dream of playing in the NFL. In 1982, I was drafted to the Los Angeles Rams out of a Division III school. I have another brother who is a professional boxer. He was eighth ranked in the world. I have another brother who was a Heisman runner-up in 1987. Don McPherson was a quarterback. He was the number one rated passer in the nation. I was drafted in the fifth round because he was a black. In 1987, black quarterbacks were not given the opportunities they're given today. As a matter of fact, Troy Aikman, who I'm sure all of you know, all right? He was ranked number two behind my brother. He was the number one rated. No, he was. Troy Aikman was Hall of Fame legit. He was. But he was ranked number two to my brother in passing efficiency. He was the first player pick. My brother was 150-something player pick. And so that fired me up to write the book and other things. But when I was growing up, I have a half Chinese black grandmother, a white grandmother, two black grandfathers. My great-grandfather's from China, Wong Kim Fong. Don't laugh at my grandfather's name, Wong Kim Fong. They call him Charlie. I don't know where you get Charlie from, but so that's where I get all of this. But when I was a kid, my father would tell me I was adopted from Puerto Rico. Anybody here speak Spanish? Anybody speak Spanish? Cuando yo era niño, mi papá me decía que yo era adoptado de Puerto Rico. So I'm like, I'm gonna learn me some Spanish and I'm gonna marry me a Latina, for real. For real. So all my life I was looking for a Latino, a Latina girl, a woman, female, I am so jacked up right now. I was in my seat like this. Dudley, just say my name so I can go up there. Come on now. So anyway, I all my life I'm like, I'm gonna marry this. I'm gonna speak Spanish, and I learned Spanish. I preached a sermon in Spanish a few years ago. And I just, you know, this is all Puerto Rican. If you're in New York, this is Puerto Rican. Right? And, but I'm not. So, but 30% of our church is Puerto Rican, speaks Spanish. We have 15 Spanish-speaking countries in our church. And so I preached a sermon. And in preparation for my sermon, I went to Costa Rica to learn Spanish. I was there 12 days. I was in Querétaro, Mexico for 5 days. Completely immersed in Spanish. It was awesome. But when I was in Costa Rica, I asked my teacher, mi maestra, how do you say boyfriend, girlfriend? Well, I'm not asking you. But I appreciate the advice. Right, but you're right. If it's novio, if it's boyfriend, novia, if it's girlfriend. So I said, okay, cool. I wrote it down because I'm asking all these words. And then they said, but there's another term you need to know. I said, what's that? Amigo con derechos. Amigo con derechos, and now I'm learning one word at a time, you know, and you're learning, you don't know context and how to put words together to make sentences, and so I'm like piecing this phrase, amigo con derechos. Everyone say amigo? Amigo. Con derechos. Amigo's friend, con is with, derecho, now derecho is right. Izquierda is left. So I'm amigo with right. Amigo with right. I'm not getting it. They said, no, 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 no. Amigo con derechos. Friend with benefits. Friends with rights. And so you have your boyfriend, your girlfriend over here, right? Here's your main squeeze. And then you have this other friend. You want a little bit of this. You want a little bit of that. You could have this on Wednesday, and you could have this on Tuesday, and the other person can have it all day, all week long. So you have your main squeeze that you made your commitment to, but on the side, you have someone you've given rights to on certain parts of the week and certain parts of you. Are y'all following what I'm saying? So a lot of y'all have an amigo con derechos relationship with the devil. You have your Bible, you have your church, you have your pastor, you have your songs, but you got a side deal. You have a contract. We're going to talk about satanic agreements. You have a contract written with more than ink with your commitment of your heart to obey the devil in certain situations at certain times that you're going to obey God. I'm a Jesus person. I love God, and you can sit here and praise and be in the worship team or be in how you're praising God, but you have this side deal with the devil. And so what we're going to do today is talk about your side deals. But more importantly, we're going to break those side deals. Because if you do not break those side deals, you are given jurisdiction of the Satan over your life. Now, you can say, well, I'm a Christian and God is my Savior. Sure, you'll go to heaven, but you'll go to heaven jacked up. And I'm going to tell you this, you know, sometimes the reason you are alive is that God has not finished with you. When God figures that you are either going to do what he says, that when God figures you're either going to do what he says or you're not. And once God figures you're not going to do what he says, he'll take you. Why waste air on you? There's this guy on Instagram, and he writes on this whiteboard all these amazingly wise and woe sayings. And one of them was that humans are the only animals and living things on the earth that pay to be on earth. No animals pay a price to live on earth. No plants pay a price. We're the only ones that pay a price. Yeah, you have to pay for your house, you gotta pay for this, gotta pay for that. But you're taking up space. And God has paid for you to do something for him. And when he figures out you're not gonna do for him what he paid for, he'll take you out. That's just my theory. I'm not threatening you, but I'm giving you an idea, a thought, that you are not here for you. You are here for him. Can I get an amen? However, if you're here for him, then live for him. Stop having these side deals and giving the devil his credit. So here's what we're going to do. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And look what it says. And it's on the screen. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. And they did not love them to their lives to the death. Guess what the devil accused you of? Stuff that's true. Stuff that's true. Look at them in church praising God. You know what they were doing this morning? Look at them on Sunday morning coming here praising God. And they were out drinking all night, getting up drunk all weekend, watching pornography, sleeping around this person, cheating on their wife. And then they go up there and got nerve to be up there praising God. And guess what? He's right. Now, what the devil does, he takes some truth and he amplifies it so it may not be all true. In other words, you may have not cheated on your wife with three people, maybe just two. You may not cheat every week, but you did it one time. And whatever it is, there's truth in your life. Can I get an amen? Y'all know, and by the way, you may not know all the agreements you have. I bet you don't, because that's all about deception. But you do know you have agreements. That God has asked you to do something, and you said, yes, but I got to get permission from my fear, from my insecurity. I got to get permission from the lies that the devil told me when I was a kid that I still believe. That contradict what the Bible says about me, but I still believe this over what the Bible says. So if you have those agreements and those contracts are preventing you from being blessed by God the way God wants to bless you. Don't settle for the little blessing God has for you. God has a bigger blessing for you than you could ever ask or imagine. And the devil has convinced you that you won't even get that. And you go, you're right. I'm never going to be blessed. I was preaching and I started healing people. I say healing people, praying for healing, and healing happened. I was praying, and I have specialties. What I mean by specialties, I have certain things that I like to pray for better than others, and or things that just happen a lot more frequently. Like I pray for people's legs and ankles get healed. Even when I don't pray, I'll just mention it. By the way, anybody here got a leg problem right now? For real. Anybody got a leg problem? Okay, just keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. It's for real. So just keep your hand up while I'm saying this. Don't put your hand down. So I would pray for people's legs, or even mention that I pray for people's legs and their legs get healed without even praying. Why? Because it's not me. Now, all the people whose hands get up, I want you to feel your leg and see if anything got healed. And I'm dead serious. Just feel it. Did the swelling go away? Did you have motion you didn't have? Whatever it is. And if anybody feels like it got better, just clap your hand. Boom. Now, I don't know any of y'all didn't pay any of y'all to say that. I'm just saying, I like to pray for people who can't have babies. Let's pray right now. God, you are the God who opens wombs. And there are people here who have been trying, spending thousands of dollars to have a baby. They want to love a baby. They want to care for a baby. We pray you open their womb. And the next 30 days, there'll be a miracle. And they will call the church and say, I'm having a baby. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Please tell me that they had a baby. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. So in order for you to understand what the devil's tricks have been on your life, you first understand how God designed you to be, who God designed you to be. And I'm going to say God created you in the image of God. I am A-G-E. He created you to rule. One, he created you as an individually unique person. You are individually unique. Everyone say out loud, there is nobody like me. And by the way, God has not created you to fit in. He created you to stand out. So stop trying to fit in. There is nobody with your fingerprint, footprint. The vein pattern in your eye is only yours. Your stanky breath in the morning is only yours. Your DNA is only yours. There's 6 billion cells, and in your cell is a carbon copy of DNA, 6 billion cells, and they're only you. Your purpose is only you. Your gift mix is only you. Your circumstance, only you. Go on and on and on. You are one of a kind, individually unique. What the Bible says in Psalm 139, 13 and 14, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous. Everyone say, well, like you're from Harvard. Say marvelous. Give me this. Say marvelous. You are marvelous. Go home and look in the mirror. Listen, come on now. Thank you. Just look in the mirror and say, you are marvelous. There's nobody like you. So you are individually unique. Say, I am one of a kind. That's I in the word image. M, you are a moral mirror. God created you like no other creature to reflect his glory, to reflect his word. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, set apart, for I am holy. Can't tell a dog that, can't tell a cat that, can't tell a snake or a giraffe or a lion, be ye holy. He says, only I could tell you, because you have a choice. You and I have a choice to say, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to talk like you, I want to love like you, I want to forgive like you, I want to encourage like you. And that's what God calls you to do, to be holy. How many of y'all got a diamond? If you got a diamond ring, hold your diamond up. Okay, make sure we'll see y'all outside in the parking lot. Ka-cha! Diamonds have a bling factor. The bling factor is the quality of the diamonds, the ability of the diamond to reflect light. It's based on four hard C-sounding words: carat, cut, color, and clarity. And all the combination of those things give the diamond the ability to collect light and bling it out. So it take all the light from the room and condense it and then sparkle it out, intensifies it. If you take a diamond and put it in a dark room, you can't see it because it has no light in of itself. It can only reflect light. So it has to have light to reflect the light. That's where you get. That's how you understand the bling. You and I are the diamond. You have no light in yourself. Your righteousness is like filthy rags. But God says, I created you to reflect my glory. I was driving down the street the other day, and this homeless lady was on the street. She hardly had anything on. Her skin was all burnt and shriveled up from the sun, and she was just talking to herself, standing on the sidewalk. And I'm like, and the devil said, look at God's glory. The devil can't destroy God, but he could destroy the image of God. And that's you and me. Okay? And I, when I see homeless people, I think two things. One, they were a baby at one point, a loved baby, and then what God intended for them, the devil made a detour in their life. It's not destroyed. It's not hopeless yet. A, God has given you authority to rule. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over all the cattle, over all the earth, and every creep that creeps on the earth. Creeps are bugs and dudes. Y'all missed that. That was supposed to be a joke. Ladies, how many of y'all dated a creep before? Thank you. Okay, you missed it. God says, I'm giving you authority over environments, not people. God has not given you authority over people. That's slavery. He's giving you authority over environment. Think about it. God created the heavens and the earth. He created the seas, the birds, the bees, the fish, the ant, the land, the oceans, the insects. And then he said it was good. Okay, let me back up. Some of y'all might think in evolution. Okay, let me just take a little detour. Big Bang. Who banged it? It's just a logical question. I'm not trying to do a trick. It's not, you know, some theological deep concept. It's like a fifth grade question. Who banged it? And where did the stuff that got banged come from? And then where did the bang come from? And then more importantly, who organized what got banged? Ladies, bear with me. When you wake up, all this is banged. Can I get an amen, ladies? Amen. It's just blowed up. It's just trash. Bam, something happens at night. I don't know what it is, but it happens. And when you get up in the morning, it's like, whoa, okay, take care of that, please. You apply heat, mascara. It's scary, okay? Pressure, creativity, and you come out. That's the point. So even if it blew up, somebody had to organize what got blown up. You don't blow anything up and ever get organization. You can't blow up lumberyard and get a house. It never happens. And so even if you believe in the Big Bang, who organized the sun and the moon and all the rotation and the sun to be 93 million miles away and just give us enough heat, enough cold to have existence? It can't happen. So here's what happened. God said, I'm going to create all that, and then I'm going to give you authority, responsibility to ensure that it stays like that. Watch this. The ocean, people cannot make the ocean better. You can't make the forest better. You can't make the desert better. You can't make snow better. You can't improve on what God. All you can do is maintain its glory. And so God said, Adam and Eve, look, God's put Adam and Eve, and he said, everything's good. Don't mess it up. That's what he said. It's not, your King James says, you know, he gave you dominion. I got the Don King version. It says, don't mess it up. So God has given us authority over environments, so environments maintain God's glory in them. He gave that responsibility to you and me. So I'm talking about the devil. God has said you are individually unique. He's given you authority. He's made you out to be a moral mirror where you can reflect back to the earth and to everything. God's glory, and the G is your God's friend. Look what the Bible says in God's friend. Greater love has no one than this than to lay down his life for his friend. He's not some ogre, mad king that wants to thump on you. He is your friend. He's your friend. And he's better than any friend you got, because I doubt you have any friends who would die for you. And die for you if you were good, but you ain't good. He died for you because you're bad. And I say bad, you're a sinner. And lastly, we're eternal. Eternal. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. This is Jesus talking. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me, and believe in God, and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I go prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and that where I am, you may also be, and where I go, you know the way. Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not telling you, hey, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and it ain't going to be in L.A., it ain't going to be in Montana at Yellowstone. I'm going someplace else. and I'm gonna come back and get you. Either he's telling the truth or he's lying. And if he's telling the truth, that means we're eternal. That means this is just practice. And by the way, as beautiful as our world is, it's the ghetto version of what he really made. It's the fallen, cursed version. So imagine what heaven looks like. Now, I've done funerals, it's so disheartening, not disheartening. I'm amazed at how people do death without God. You know, do a funeral without God. But I've never, even non-Christian funerals, I've never seen anybody go, poor Larry, he's down there somewhere. They always say, believe in God or not, he's in a better place. One of my favorite songs, which I'll probably have played at my funeral, because I'm planning my funeral. By the way, are you planning your funeral yet? You just get the videos, you can preach. I mean, it's like a great time to get people saved. Go ahead and laugh. They're gonna put some jacked up pictures of you in your funeral because you didn't plan. you can bet for sure this is gonna be at my funeral right here. I'm gonna be like bobblehead head on the screen. What's up, y'all? I'm gonna put this right here. There you go, like that. Mariah Carey and the Boyz II Men, I know that you are shining down on me from heaven. Like so many friends we've lost along the way, and I know eventually we'll be together one sweet day. I love that song. Everybody knows there's something else because God put it in you, Ecclesiastes says. God put it in you. So God made you to rule. God created you to rule in his place over your house, your family, your job, your environment, whatever it is, in a way that glorifies him. And the devil says, I hate that. How do I get them? And the only way, you ain't gonna like this one, the only way he can get you to give up your authority is to trick you to give it to him. All the authority the devil has over you, he could not take it. He tricked you, deception, and you gave it to him willingly. And when he accuses you before the Father, God goes, yeah, you're right, they did do that. They did do that. Genesis chapter 3. You and I made an agreement with the devil. An agreement is an arrangement between two parties regarding a course of action. Ooh. An arrangement between two parties on a course of action. You and I say to the devil, and I would bet you on a daily basis, Satan, what do you think? Should I obey God or you? Satan, what do you think? Should I do it God's way or your way? Satan, what do you think? You think you can give me a better deal? You think you can make me happier doing it your way? Every single day. Now, you're saying, oh, I'll never say that. Well, of course, you're not saying that in those exact words, but you are saying it. Let's read Genesis chapter 3. God created the heavens and the earth. And this is, I have another sermon, which is one of my favorite sermons, is the devil's number one weapon. I'm going to just give you a little highlight of it right here. Look what it says. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. The devil is smarter than you. Can I get an amen? You say, well, I'm a Christian. So you're a dumb Christian. Now, let me rephrase that. Just because you're Christian don't mean you're smarter than the devil. Just because you're Christian don't mean you can do calculus. Don't mean you can read. It don't mean you can design buildings. So don't think you're smarter than the devil. The devil has deceived the planet. You don't think he can deceive you. So the Bible says he's more cunning than any beast of the field the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, hey girl, what's your name? Some of y'all ladies heard that before. You're like, I met that dude. He says, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Anytime you're having a conversation with anything, yourself, a person, that is challenging your faith in this, you're talking to the devil. When I was dating my wife in college, I was a real jealous guy, and I was always not trying to get in fights, but if I went to the bathroom and came back and a guy was talking to my girlfriend, I'm like strapping it up. What's up? Literally, I'd be like, yo, what's up? This is my girlfriend. What do you want? And I'm like, go, and you know, I think they all thought that I was real crazy because no one ever like wanted to fight me. Even three dudes at one time. What's up? Let's go outside. I'm challenging three dudes to go outside. And they're like, oh, he may be crazy. Maybe he has a gun. Maybe he knows karate. I don't know. I never got called on it. Thank God. However, the reason I was that way, when I was insecure and jealous and all that kind of craziness, however, they were not saying to her, yo, you should be faithful to him. He's a real nice guy. I think you guys should stay together. They weren't saying that. They were like, yo, can we get together? Anytime the devil talks to you, he's doing one thing. He's trying to destroy your relationship with God. The devil speaks three times in the Bible. This is the first time he speaks here. He tries to destroy the relationship tries to destroy man's trust in God. Second time he speaks is in Job. He tries to destroy God's trust in man. Third time he speaks is in the Gospels. He tries to turn the God man, Jesus, against his father. Anytime he talks to you, he's trying to do one thing. Destroy your relationship with God, your trust in God, so he can have you to himself. So understand that. So anytime you start to hear, does the Bible this, does God this, you're having a conversation with someone who's representing and speaking on God, on the devil's behalf. Do not be the devil's advocate. Do not be Jesus' advocate. And so stop representing what the devil is trying to say. So look what it says. It says, verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, lest you die. Here's her mistake. She should have never talked to the devil. Now, I'm an evangelist, and I believe that if I met any of y'all in Vons, do y'all have a Vons up here? Okay, if I met any Trader Joe's, okay, my wife would slap me if I said Vaughn. She's a Trader Joe's. In about 3 minutes, I can get you saved because that's my gift. And you might say, well, I'm already saved, but we got to pray right now because you may need it again. I'm going to convince you to pray a prayer. You'll be like, yeah, I guess I got to get saved again. Because the devil can convince you of almost anything. I had a lady come to me at church. She said, my husband's cheating on me. I said, she came to me at church. My husband's cheating on me. She had her two daughters there. I said, where do you live? She said, I live right up the street from the church. I said, have him come down here and talk to me. The fool came to church. The reason I call him a fool, he goes up to me and says, hey, I'm the guy whose wife said I was cheating on her. That's how he introduced himself to me. I'm like, okay, sit down. We had a conversation. And you know what he says? Yep, I lost my family, but I think I did the right thing. Devil's so slick. Raise your hand if the devil made you do something stupid, and you can look yourself in the mirror and go, why did I do that? But you did it anyway. Come on now. Thank you. Thank you. And look what it says. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband, and he ate. The devil convinced her to take her authority that God gave her, have dominion over the fish, the birds, the creeping things, and he said, here, devil, I'm going to listen to you now. Because you told me something different than God. You told me that I won't die. God told me I will. You told me that I'm supposed to listen to him. You said I can make my own decision. So I'm choosing to believe you over God. Here's the devil's number one weapon, and this is how he tricks you. Twofold lie. One, that you will not die or suffer consequence for your sin. Anytime you choose the devil over God, you actually believe somewhere in your heart, I can get away with this. Drugs are not gonna hurt me. Cheating is not gonna hurt me. Pornography is not gonna hurt me. Cursing ain't gonna hurt me. Lying is not gonna hurt me. Cutting corners and going to work late and leaving early ain't gonna hurt me. And you actually believe those things. And suddenly, your idea of what the word says and what the word means something different because the devil has convinced you of something very different. That God's not gonna bless you. He's not gonna answer your prayer. He's not gonna honor you reading the Bible. He's not gonna honor you quoting scripture to people who don't believe in God. Or they're not gonna believe in God. They don't believe in God, so don't quote scripture. Oh yeah, they need to believe. No, you quote the Bible, said the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. Do you believe that or not? And because he keeps cutting us down, we make all these deals with God, and by the time we get to the end, we are no, we're just a shell of what a Christian is. That's why our whole world is being destroyed and the church is being discredited, because Christians have watered it down because we keep believing these little lies and making these deals with the devil instead of believing what the Word of God says. You're a failure. Yeah. You just made a contract. You're dumb. Yeah. You just made a contract. You're ugly. Yeah, just made a contract. You're fat. Yeah, just made a contract. You're not fat, you're just big boned it. God's not gonna answer your prayer. Yeah, not like them. Let me tell you something, don't believe in social media. I made an app. It was before apps were apps. 7 years ago, I made these one-minute videos, 365, one for every day, called Miles a Minute. And my best friend, who's not a Christian, well, he says he is, but he ain't. He lives in New York. He has never seen Miles a Minute, never heard of it until last week. He calls me up. Yo, man, I saw this Miles a Minute thing, and that was awesome. When did you do that? And man, you look young. And he says, I looked at you and your hair and your face. I looked in the mirror at me going, man, I'm all jacked up. How does he look so young? He's looking at a video that's 7 years old, but he thinks it's now. So I just let him go on for like a long time, just talking. I said, hey, Mike, that's from 7 years ago. Oh, that's why. He thought it was now. Do you really think what you see on online is true? It's not true. You don't even know your life. You don't even know your mother's last name. There's so many things about our life we don't even know. We've never seen our brain, never seen our heart. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know why everything in our life happened, and yet we can judge other people like that. The devil has a soul. He got it wrapped up, and then when he tells you this lie, he says, now I want you to do this, and you're like, God, I'm not going to follow you anymore because you're telling me all this stuff that's not true. I can't believe you. I got to believe him because what he's telling me is right. That's the agreement you made with the devil. And when you make an agreement with the devil, you give authority, jurisdiction, legal permission to destroy you. Look what it says in Job chapter 1. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. What? This is the second time the devil spoke. He turned God, tried to turn God against man, and God said, well, I know my man Job, but go ahead, you can destroy everything, but you can't touch his body. He had permission, he had parameters. And then in Job chapter 2, he says, the Lord said, behold, he is in your hand, just don't kill him. And then the devil had parameters, permission to touch his body. Now you may be thinking, what's up with God? You take that up with God. I ain't speaking against God. But Satan has legal authority that you and I give him. For example, if you go spend all night at the bar drinking and you leave at 4 a.m. drunk, you just told the devil, I am trusting in the alcohol to give me what God said he was going to give me. I am given legal authority over the alcohol. I'm given legal authority over pornography. I'm given legal authority. Matter of fact, if you watch pornography, I got a whole sermon called X-Man, and it's on pornography and sexual immorality, and it's called X-Man because if you don't listen to what the sermon says, you're going to be someone's ex, okay? And in this message, and I'm not gonna get too much into it because of time, but when you have intimacy with a person, that person, their touch, their smell, their texture, their sound, their shape, their voice, their motion is wired into your brain. There is a physical wiring that happens. And the more you are with that person who God had designed you to be with one person, that actual person is actually wired into your brain. when you have multiple encounters, which pornography, when you watch pornography, your brain is not distinguishing between what's happening real and happening physically because your brain is processing it. You are wiring all these people into your brain, and your brain cannot connect with that many people, and it inhibits and prevents you from actually being intimate with one person because your brain is now rewired only for pleasure and no connection. You just gave permission to the devil to ruin your brain and ruin your relationship and ruin your ability to be intimate with one person. Where God said, two shall become one. He literally meant that. And so when you give authority over to the devil by believing what he's telling you versus believing what God's telling you, you are actually saying, devil, I am giving you authority to do what you want with my body. Do what you want with my relationships, my mind, my thoughts, my relationship with God. I am giving control of that part of my life to you. So you have to sit here and think, what am I agreeing? What am I doubting that this Bible says? From what this Bible tells me, what the Spirit of God has revealed to me, what am I not believing and stepping out in faith 100% to a trust in, and what is holding me back? What agreements have I made with the devil that's holding me back? If you just thought about that, this is gonna trip you out. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1-5. We're gonna read it slow. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. This is a church that's in such sexual immorality as not even is even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. So basically in your church, I'm not saying this church, I'm saying his church, he's talking here, y'all are freaks. Are we reading the Bible? Okay. Y'all got some freaks up in your house. And you're puffed up about it. You're bragging and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For indeed, as absent in the body but present in the spirit, I have already judged, as though I was present, him who has done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. What? Hey, man, you got to go. And I say this at my church, the church I pastor, at my church. If you are unsure about your drug use, unsure about whatever, go 100%, do it. Just go party. Go do all that 100%. And when you realize it don't work, then come back. But don't be both ways. Listen, I did smoke weed for 8 years, did cocaine for 2 years, and I was buck wild. And I said, I'm done. And April 12th, 1984, I said, I'm done. And I stopped doing cocaine in one day and stopped smoking weed in one day. And that was it. There's a porn star. I don't know if he's active because he's kind of old now, but his name is Ron Jeremy. He's done 3,000 films. And there's a lot of dudes going, oh, yeah, I know that dude. Yeah, I do that dude. Lord have mercy. Ron Jeremy, he was touring with another pastor and they were debating. It was kind of fixed. It was a show, but they did it. And so we hosted them, the pastor and Ron Jeremy, and we had about 3,000 people, and half of them were pimps and prostitutes and that coming in their hats, coming in with the ladies, all this stuff. And then the other half were Christians trying to figure out what the heck we were doing. And then other Christians are walking in going, oh, yeah, I know this brother, I'm just going, maybe I get an autograph, you know what I'm saying? Fools. So I said, hey, Ron, well, you know, you got a lot of, you know, the dregs, people that you don't need to come to church. Why don't you come on a Sunday? Will you come on a Sunday? He said, yeah. So I had him on a Sunday. And everyone's like, oh, snap. This is off. This is way too far. I'm not coming back. Give me my tithe back. I said, and this one guy, Lou, said, I want my money back. I said, listen, I'll give you your money back, but come to church, and then after that, if you want your money back, I'll give you your money back. And you ain't getting a tax deduction, okay? Ron's done 2,500 films. He's sitting there. He tells everybody. I said, statistics show that 1 in 2 guys watch pornography. So that means half you, this is what I said, church, half your guys out here have watched or watch pornography. 1 in 6 women, 1 in 6 women. And the day you'll watch pornography the most is Sunday. So, who is the hypocrite in the room? Because he's honest about what he's doing. And y'all are acting like you're Christian. So who we fooling? You ain't fooling God. I get, hey, Pastor Miles, you love the church. Yeah, okay. I don't know what's all going on there, but God does. We had a ministry called JC's Girls. They were women who went to strip clubs to pray for women in the strip club. And they're sitting there in their pink shirts, their little pink basket, little smell good for the ladies, little letter for God, you know, to his daughter. And they're sitting there and the girl's stripping. And these guys are sitting here watching the girls watch the strippers. The guys are like, I don't know, are they going to go up there next? Who are these girls? They are, while they're here, this is kind of weird. And they go, hey, just wondering, what are y'all doing here? And they said, oh, we're from the Rock Church. And the dude's heads dropped. They said, we from the Rock Church too. Come on. Stupid. You're already busted. That's the thing about it. You think you're getting away with it and the devil's accusing you to God. It's not even that God has to see you, because he does. The devil's going to tell him what you're doing. So when you think you're sneaking around, the person you're sneaking around with is ratting you out. And we just read it, Revelation. The accuser who accused you day and night. Last point. Satanic agreements can only be broken by the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to pray a prayer breaking. We're going to pray a prayer in a minute, but here's my challenge to you. I want you to identify an agreement you have. Be honest with yourself. I don't believe prayer works. Be honest. I don't believe reading the Bible makes a big difference. Be honest. I don't believe in miracles that God will ever heal me or God would ever use me to heal anybody. Be honest. I don't believe tithing works. Be honest. Some of y'all just give some money, you don't tithe, yet you complain about your finances. I'm telling you, and I don't believe forgiveness works, and yet you're carrying all this burden. Forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for you. And you, all these agreements you have that are so simple, but yet so powerful, you broke them and said, Lord, I'm gonna believe you. So in a minute, we're gonna pray. You're gonna break that. We're gonna pray that you would break that and call you forward to walk out of your grave, walk out of your old life. Here's the thing. Jesus said in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority, everyone say all authority, has been given to me in heaven and earth. That's all. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Jesus walked on water, and only disciple in the boat that believed he could do what Jesus said. When Jesus said, all the things I do, you can do in greater works, the only person who believed that was Peter. You remember in Matthew 14, here Jesus walking on the water. And by the way, you may have seen this on TV. Dudes walk like this. You may have seen that on, you know, some rap video or whatever. That was not invented in Compton. That was Jesus walking on the waves. As he was walking on the water, the waves were going up and down, and he was walking. I'm just telling you, you need to read the Bible. So Peter looks and says, I want to walk like that too. And Jesus said, first you got to get a degree. Cut your hair. Learn the Bible. Nope. Just follow me. Now, all that stuff will happen later. Peter said, cool. Walked out, and he was walking on water. But as soon as the devil said, what about the wind? What about the waves? What about the rain? He's like, oh, snap. Yeah, maybe, watch this. Maybe this God stuff really isn't true. As you stand on water. He convinced him as he was standing on water that he really wasn't standing on water. I'm in the middle of a miracle, but I don't believe it's a miracle because it's got to be some other explanation because this stuff can't be real. That is how constant the battle is in real time. And you have to continue to rebuke that in Jesus' name. So here's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray this out loud, and then we're going to bow our heads and challenge you to walk out of your seat. But there's going to be a prayer on the screen. Man, that screen is clear. I want you to think about one agreement. I wrote down 8. After I preached this 3 weeks ago, I wrote down 8. And I wrote down a prayer to rebuke it. And here's the devil. You'll do that for a week and stop. You have to fight this battle every day because you are that valuable to the devil and you are that important to God. You are not some insignificant thing. So, I want you to be thinking about one agreement that you are going to break and then we are going to pray this. And before I go, I want you to also, if you get pregnant, don't be naming that kid Mudley. M-I-L-E-S. I literally was in church one day, this lady tapped me on the shoulder, she said, by me, she had a little baby. She said, this is Miles. I was like, oh, snap, do I know you? Like, can you just tell me here's the first time we meet now. You know, I don't know what I did back in the day, but. Okay, you ready? Have you identified that lie, that agreement? If you haven't, you're deceiving yourself or you're lazy. And if you're that lazy, you don't deserve the blessing. Let's bow our heads 1 minute, and I want you to think one agreement. Before we pray this prayer, just bow your heads real quick, and I want you to identify one contract that you have made with the devil. Lord, we had fun tonight, but this is serious business. So I pray that you would open our eyes to what that contract is. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, open your eyes, and we're gonna recite this, then pray the real prayer that the music comes with, okay, in a minute. Y'all ready? Y'all got your agreement? Okay, we're gonna pray this, and we're not gonna go, in Jesus' name, I voluntarily declare all the Lord. No, we are going to shout this, and we are going to declare this, because there's a demon, there's a devil listening going, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, I own you. And we're saying, no. You don't own us. Jesus owns us, and we're going to declare that to be true. Amen? Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. In Jesus' name, I voluntarily declare that Jesus is Lord of all. I declare that Jesus died and rose from the dead, defeating the power of Satan. I declare Matthew 20:18 that Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. I declare that Jesus has disarmed all evil principles and powers. I surrender all authority in my life to Jesus and declare that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I exercise the power of Jesus' name over all influences in my life. I repent and break all agreements and contracts with the devil. I release myself of all guilt and shame related to my satanic agreements. In Jesus' name, I break the power of evil spirits involved in my life. Come on, church. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do, then we're gonna do it, then I'm gonna tell you what we did. There's some of you in here who, one, need to surrender your life to Jesus for the first time. Two, you just need a fresh start. You really do. You need to do more than just sit in your seat, laugh, praise God, recite declarations. You need to step out of your old life that just ended into a new life. You need to make a bold statement, a public statement, that I am going to live for Christ at another level. And so in a minute, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that you're gonna pray to yourself. Then I'm gonna ask you to stand up. Then I'm gonna ask you to come forward. And in coming forward, you are making a public declaration I'm walking away from my old life into my new life. So I told you what I'm gonna do, then we're gonna do it, and then when you're here, I'm gonna tell you what you just did. So if you're ready to pray that prayer to one, accept Christ as your Savior for the first time, two, just to cement the declaration you just recited, that this is gonna be a transformational moment in your life, you're gonna pray the same prayer. So in the privacy of your heart, just pray this prayer. Dear God, I surrender. I give my life to Jesus Christ. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to walk with you. I want to love you better, obey you more faithfully, reflect the glory of God like a diamond. I want to be a faithful disciple of Jesus. I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be someone you can trust in, God. A person after your own heart. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand up. I told you we were going to pray. I told you we were going to stand up. So if you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, I'm walking away from my old self, today is a turning point in my life.